Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, May 24th, 2020. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And how are we going to do that? We're social distancing from each other. We're sitting in family clusters. If you're watching online, this is very unusual. We normally all huddle together. We normally all greet handshakes and everything. But this is different. We're trying to be kind to one another to make sure that others know we are concerned about them. Make sure that we protect our life and the life of others, because this particular disease is very contagious. So what do you do? Well, we're going to find out something today. We're going to be looking at God's word. We're going to find out what God has to say about this, because he speaks beyond pandemics. There have been many pandemics. We're just happen to be in the cutting edge of one of them. God chose you to be alive during this pandemic. Don't forget that. There's a reason why you are alive, to give a great witness to those around you. How do Christians behave? How do we act towards our God, towards one another, when the world is going crazy, when we want to be concerned about others and yet we don't want to fall into fear? How in the world do we do that? God tells us. But before I show you again what God says in his word, I would like your attention to the screen. Because this is fresh in the minds of Peter, James, and John. When the Lord sent them out, this was what they remembered.
Be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
Think of yourself as one of those disciples. And then Jesus sends you out. 40 days later, the Holy Spirit comes just like Jesus promised. And then you start to go. There's a different attitude that you have when you keep that in mind. See, we have questions. Well, we have tons of questions. Let's ask you a couple questions now, okay? What do you do when you're sick? Well, you go to a doctor. What does the doctor do? Well, he checks you over and he gives you some kind of medicine or prescription or something to do to get you better. What do you do when your car breaks down? You go to a veterinarian? No, of course not. You go to a mechanic. Mechanic knows how to do that. In our house right now, we have plumbing issues. So what do I do when I have a plumbing issue? Do I go to the contractor to put a roof on the house? No. I call up a plumber. Who do you go to when you have a problem? Part of what we know as Christians is we know the person to go to when we have any problem. The problem is particularly that world doesn't seem to be able to fix for us so easily. Problems that we have with guilt, with sin, the problems that we have with not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. The problems that we have grappling with worries. What do? We know to whom to go because he has the skill. We know to whom to go because he has the power. And he gives us his word so we can go to him again and again and again, no matter what's up. So remain in the word. Remain in the word. That means you reject fear. I'm out of here. That means you resist the devil because he's trying to pull you. And that means you rejoice in our Savior. Remain in the word. Reject fear. I'd like to use an example of an animal that many people are afraid of, a snake. Snakes are slithery. It looks like they're made out of rubber or ooze or something. And we have that little thing that comes out of their mouth, that little and it, yeah. So it's kind of eerie, kind of weird. And how that animal moves, you just kind of think that there's no bones in that thing. There's over 300 bones in a snake, of all things. But that's not why I want to talk about the snake. I want to talk about the snake because of how God designs the snake. The snake's skin does not grow like our skin. As a baby gets bigger to be my size, or Pastor John's size, as a baby gets bigger, what happens is the skin stretches. That's kind of cool. But a baby snake doesn't have that. Baby snake, their skin doesn't stretch. So you know what happens? God, this is so cool. The snake goes up and he hits something like something on a rock with his nose. It starts the skin splitting, and then he wiggles his way and moves his way, and he casts that old skin off of him and he crawls away. Maybe you've been to a museum and you've seen something like that, skin of a snake. That's what God wants us to do with our fears. They're there. They're part of our old sinful nature. And he says, cast your burdens, throw them, toss them unto me. I got a strong enough back to handle everything. Toss them unto me. I will take care of you. You know, how many times have you thought when you're talking to somebody over the course of your life, man, they just don't get this. They just don't understand. God does get it. He does understand. He was tempted in every way like you and I are tempted, but he was without sin. You know what that means? That means when we are tempted, he knows exactly what we need. So if you're afraid of something, I don't care what it is, maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's this COVID virus. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, you can take that fear and say, you know, I don't want that. I'm going to throw that off just like a dirty old snake skin. I'm going to let Jesus take care of me. My God who loves me incredibly much. My God who has cared for me and has demonstrated that love with his own death on the cross and coming back to life again. There is nobody like that. Now, not only do we reject fear, but We are very strongly aware that we are being tempted by an evil. The early Christians, I think more so than today, sadly, the early Christians were very much aware of what the Bible says about the devil. They're keenly aware. The Apostle Paul said this, "We wanted to come to you in Thessalonica. We wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did. But again and again, Satan stopped us." So the devil messes with the ministry. I cannot go into hospitals. I cannot go into rehab centers. The devil is messing with my ministry. Pastor John and I would love to do nothing more than that. And he's put a kibosh on that with this little COVID virus thing because we don't want to get other people sick. Wow. He's still messing with the ministry, right? He's messing with your ministries, helping your friends and neighbors. Yeah. But not only that, he messes with marriages. The Lord says about the devil, "Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." With that little phrase, now we know that Satan wants to destroy marriages, particularly Christian marriages. You know why? Because a Christian and a Christian coming to God's throne of grace, the Lord listens to them. In a marriage, a Christian husband and a Christian wife, when they are united in prayer, that is a force that makes hell tremble in fear. Because God listens to those prayers. Satan is very, very sneaky. And he's very powerful, very tricky. He loves to lie. That's his native language, Jesus says. So we study Satan. What? Yeah, we study Satan. The Apostle Paul said, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So what are some of the devil's schemes that he's trying to work on you? Well, you know all the ones about fear. You know the ones about worry. But there's something even deeper and more profound that Satan tries to pull on us Christians. I'm telling you, it's just a wicked, wicked thing. I've only been a pastor since 1981. And I have seen more people struggle with this basic understanding of what God is, who God is, and what he says. Satan will come along and say, "You know, you don't have a very good buddy. You know, God couldn't really love you because you're such a scumbag. God couldn't really love you because you always break your word. God couldn't really love you because you are such dirt. You think God's going to forgive you? You just did that sin yesterday. And you said you were sorry yesterday. And here you are doing it again. God can't forgive you. You're just a phony baloney." The only way to handle Satan's attacks is to remain in the word. Satan is like a lion walking around roaring. Now, if you look at a lion, it's scary. If you listen to a lion, it's scary. But if you understand that the lion is chained and cannot come near you, and a roaring lion is not going to sneak up on anything that pounce on it, you know who Satan is. How do you handle the attacks that Satan comes? You remain in God's word. What does God say? When all those negative things come pouring into your life, when he tries to twist your brain cells and thinking that you are not good enough for God, what do? God says bluntly in Romans chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Did you hear that? I'll tell you one more time. It's a great news to tell you. There is no condemnation, no finger pointing at all. When you come before God's throne of grace, and you say to him, "Lord, here I am, I'm your child." He says, "Oh, I love it that you're here." There is no condemnation. Later on in that very same chapter, the Lord says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" great words. And the word of God is what sends Satan running. Now in the closing, to rejoice in Jesus, the Lord wants us to rejoice in him. That doesn't happen very often. You know, so many people think that, you know, bad things like a pandemic will get people flocking into church. Bad things like planes flowing into buildings and destroying buildings. Bad things like wars. Bad things like disease. Bad things don't get people coming into church. Bad things happen and they get people very much aware that we are living in a sinful world. In fact, when bad things happen, people get mad at God. You can't take it out on God, so they get mad at a pastor, or they get mad at a Christian teacher, or leaders in the church, or they get mad at their Christian friends. And they'll start to do all sorts of things, acting out because they're actually mad at God. How do you handle going through life knowing that that's all swimming around you in this darkness that we call the sinful world? I love what the apostle does here. The Lord says four words, four. Two of them, if you're in a building, which I'm not, but two of them are building words, and two of them are health words. He says, God himself will restore you. That means that whatever bone's broken, God will line it up again, put a splint on it, put a cast on it to make sure it heals and mends really well. God himself will establish you. That's the word that you use when, let's say your back porch is, or your deck. Let's say your deck's kind of wobbly or some boards are kind of not so firm. You get a carpenter to go out there and he will establish. That means that he'll strengthen those. Get rid of the old rotten boards. Put up some stuff underneath to make sure it's a firm structure once again. God himself will strengthen you. That's a word. Some of you, if you've ever had knee surgery or hip surgery, you know this word already. It's a word that they use in physical therapy, where you make people do muscle work to build up their strength. And it's uncomfortable, but you need to do it so that you can be stronger and you can walk around with mobility again. And the last one is God himself will support you. What does that mean? That's the word that's used when you talk to a builder again, and he's laying the foundation upon which a house will be built so that the house will not stumble. It will be supported. That's what the Lord says he's doing. You know, in my own close ties with people, I have run into people who think and say to me, well, Christianity's all pie in the sky kind of a thing. It's, you know, it's going to come up here or there. That's all right, y'all. You know, if it gets you through the hard times, that's not true. Christianity is a bunch of people who follow a person, Jesus Christ, who kicked death in the teeth and on the third day came back to life again as no one else before him had ever done. And when you go past a graveyard, maybe a graveyard that holds like the graveyard that I'm familiar with, the tombs, the bones and the bodies of my loved ones, my father-in-law, mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my sister, my mom and my dad, those graveyards are not the final resting place for Christians. Because on the last day, God's going to speak. And he's going to say, come. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive will be caught up with them in the air. That's what the scripture says. That's what's coming. And that's all guaranteed by the person we're worshiping today. My dear friends, remain in the word. Go back to it again and again and again. We forget. And the Lord knows we forget. So he wrote it all down. I read through the Bible a couple times a year. And every now and then I kid people because it seems to me as if God put a new verse in there that I don't remember ever reading before. It's just because my memory is bad. God's word is God's word, and he wrote it down so you and I will benefit and be blessed and take that good news to others. So in Jesus' name, remain in his word.